If somebody tells you, I have an exam, and therefore I'm waiting on this, my books there in order to do well in the exam. And so you see this person said, I have an exam in 6 weeks' time. Very important exam, most important exam I'm going to do in my entire career. Very crucial, I've got to do well. Says, oh, I'll be praying with you. The next day you see the person at the cinema house coming out at 11 p.m. You ignore it. It's okay, that's one. Next time again you go out and you go for drinks, you are not doing any exam. You see this person drinking, talking and saying, hey, what's happening, guys? Half of the time you see the person after 1 week, you call the person. Are you still doing this exam? He says, yes. He said, don't worry, and the man says, well, when I just go, my sleep, I wake up. You are going to do an exam in 6 weeks' time? All right? Same way somebody says, let me tell you, I'm believing God for something. And this person, the way they approach it, all right, is like we're still going on with our lives every single day. The normal day, what they are doing is that they are waiting for God to do it. They are not waiting on God. Paul said, give yourself wholly to these things. Meditate upon them. And he went on and said, your profited shall appear unto all. So in believing God, once you have a central thing that you say, well, this is what I'm believing God in this period of my life for, then you, like we said last week, you clear your schedule, your mind, and focus on those few things that are really powerful that will make the difference between success and failure. Care about nothing else but these things. Focus entirely on them. Heard someone say this, that a vision and a plan executed to perfection is what characterizes great business. In other words, said, ordinary ideas, but a vision and plan executed to perfection. In the Word of God, we have extraordinary promises, not ordinary things, extraordinary thoughts. It tells us that God has blessed us, all right, with all spiritual blessings. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Why do Christians fail? Check their execution, all right, of the Word of God. How do they go about living the Word of God? How do they execute, right, this word within their lives? Which means that, what is the plan? A person says, I'm going to do an exam. He has a plan. After some time, you ask this person, he tells you the most favorable place to read. He tells you the most favorable time to read. He explains, you can see clearly that this person has structured their life in order to do well in this particular exam. All right, but you see somebody believing, there is no structure that is there. There are no changes. There are no adjustments that they are made. Discipleship is about learning the disciplines there, which means you live in a regimented way, so to speak. That is, you know, these are the disciplines of Christianity. Jesus, the Bible says, he will wake up a great while before day. You cultivate, all right, how to practice these things in order to get the result. I mean, it's like a hen, we said this last week. It sits on its eggs. It doesn't lay the eggs and then sits on the outside and hopes that, you know, the eggs one time will just hatch and the chicks will come out. And many times this is how we approach things. We sit on the sideline and we're just hoping that something will just happen. But the hen goes there and sits on the eggs. Why is the hen sitting on the egg? Is it just, well, let's just go and sit on the egg and it will happen? Because the hen, all right, maybe not know consciously, but has come to understand that the eggs must be kept continuously at a minimal temperature, which means it must never get cold. Which means the reason why it sits, all right, periodically on the eggs is to keep it warm. Because while it is kept warm, the chick within is developing and growing. If it goes and becomes very cold, that thing dies inside there. So it sits on it so that it forms. And we are saying that, you know, the event, all right, you must sit on the word. That's what Jesus said. He said, look, he said, guard your loins. He said, and let keep your light burning as people that are waiting for the Lord. That when he comes and knocks, immediately you open up. So you keep the light there burning. You don't allow it to be that, oh, it was 4 weeks ago when I first got this revelation, I was really excited. No, you keep it burning. You keep the fire of that word there burning on the inside. You sit on it because it's going to lead to something. It's going to lead to something. If you keep sitting, so man has come to understand that we don't really need these hens to sit on the eggs, because the purpose for them sitting on this egg is to keep it at this particular temperature. Now we can get incubators, put the eggs in, keep it at that temperature, and it will come out. So it's about keeping it warm. It's not just about the hen there. It's about keeping it at this particular temperature. It's about keeping the word of God that it doesn't get cold in your heart. All right? It doesn't just become something that, you know, has faded away into your consciousness somewhere. It's about you keeping that thing there. The first time you heard it, the fire burnt on the inside. Something, there was great revelation, said, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. But the thing went. You didn't keep the word on your lips. You didn't keep it before your eyes. You didn't keep it right there. So you keep it, all right, right before you, fanning the flame of God's word. And how do you do that? Take that word when you want to pray into prayer, all right? Understand that what creates power when you pray is inside the word of God. All right, you take the word of God, you mutter the word of God to yourself. When you read the word of God, all right, don't read the Bible silently. There, if you want to study Proverbs chapter 5, mutter it to yourself. Read it this way: my son, attend to my word, wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou may regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman. Then when you read it, go back again. My son, attend to my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou may regard discretion and my lips may keep knowledge. Then you go back again. My son, all right, like Bishop Keith Butler said, the Bible wasn't written to be read silently. The Bible was written to be read out loud. You read it out to yourself. All right, meditation, you cannot meditate without the use of your vocal cords. You cannot meditate without voice being involved. You see what I just showed you here? That's how you meditate. You get your entire being into the scripture. What am I saying? If you are reading that scripture out of yourself, everything inside you is focused on the word of God. Because if you are reading it quietly out there and reading it, you might start thinking about the eba you were supposed to eat in 2 hours' time. How do I know what I'm saying here? If I tell you now, let's all start counting to 30 in our minds. Let's start. 1, 2, all right, count 3, 4. Then if I ask you, tell me your name, and you open your mouth to say your name, you stop what you are thinking about, and what you are saying overrides what is going on in your mind. Once you start saying something, it dominates your thoughts. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you start reading the word of God out to yourself, no other thing can come in but that word that you are reading out. But if you are reading it quietly, we don't know whether your mind is somewhere. As you are listening to me now, you might be playing a match. You are calculating as you are looking at it. But if I say, let us all read the scriptures, and we are reading the scriptures out together, all right, what is coming out of your lips dominates what is. That's why Jesus said, take no thought saying. You take thoughts when you say. So you read the word of God out to yourself. You sit down there and start reading. You say, well, I'm not used to it. But sit down and do it. All right? And begin to do that. The benefits of it after some time. Light begins to come as you're reading out quietly to yourself. Light begins to come as you're reading out. That's why if you go in, that's how Jewish people meditate. You see them when they're there reading the thing out to themselves. Reading it there. In fact, other religions got it from the old, and they practice it. If you see them practicing, they are reading things out. They are reading things out, reading things out. It is only Pentecostals that we are quiet now. And modern Christians from Protestants. Every other person is reading the things out to themselves. Reciting the things out there. So you are reading this thing out to yourself. Reading the word of God out to yourself. Keeping yourself focused in God's word. Then you take the words also into the place of prayer. Remember that. You see, the drug is the Bible, is the word of God. But you can administer that drug differently. You can put an injection, you can take it, you can do it orally, you can, but it's the word of God. So let's take that prayer is here. You are trying to administer it with an injection here into your system. So what do? You take the word of God. The Bible says, taking the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, praying with all types of prayer. Before you get into the place of prayer, right? Don't just say, well, I'm believing God, I'm waiting on God for something, and when you pray, you just pray, your mind is wandering. Get those scriptures again. Read those scriptures out to yourself, right? Read the word of God out. Read those promises out. Read those promises over and over. Then enter into the place of praying in the Spirit. The Bible tells us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you ask what you will. The word ask there means you demand what you will. That's the only time in the Bible this kind of word ask was used. It says you will demand what you will, and if it is not in existence, God will create it. But for you to come to this place, he said, if you abide in me and my words, which means as you are saying those words and they are abiding, light begins to come. You demand that light you are seeing on the inside. But if you just leave all the words and just say, well, we are praying, your mind is on this, it has nothing to do with what you're believing, the scriptures there. Time to worship God. I remember when I was in school, I told the president of a fellowship, I said, I found out something. He said, what? There is a book called In Him, which has to do with In Christed Life, Kenneth Hagin. And it speaks of all the scriptures that have in him, by whom, through whom, which means in Christ. So he says there's no condemnation for them who are in Christ. All right? Those are in him scriptures. He says this is the confidence that we have in him. All right? When you say through whom, all right, we have redemption. So through whom, in him. I said I found out that if I confess those scriptures before I enter into prayer, I said I found my time in prayer to be more fruitful. He told me, he said, is that so? 4 days after I came, he said, you are right. He said, I tested it. And where did I get that scripture from? He says, let us hold fast our confession without wavering. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, was tempted in every day, yet without sin. Let us therefore come to the throne of grace. Which means when you are coming to the throne of grace, you are holding fast your confession. That's why he wrote Mark 11:23 before 24, whosoever shall say, which means the man that is coming to pray must have been saying something. What he wants to pray, he has declared the thing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So you are saying that. So when you want to go also into worship, it tells us, let us come in that he has boldly. It says this, by through the blood of Jesus Christ, for through the new and living way that he has consecrated, he tells us this. All right, through the flesh, which means he has opened up the gate, said, let us therefore come in a full assurance of faith. And he goes down and tells us that our full assurance of faith you get there by holding fast without wavering. So you take, it says, let you come with high praises and the two-edged sword in your hand, which means when you are praising God, God's word should be there with you. Praise should be an expression of those words. This is what it means to wait, all right, upon God using those scriptures there. So you take it, you speak it, you mutter it, all right, then you pray it, then you construct songs of worship from it. And when you do that, then you begin to interact with the living God over that particular thing. What will be the resultant effect of it? Which means you are beginning to interact. We've taught this before. What will be the resultant effect of it? So, I'm believing God now, and say I'm believing God for a job, I'm confessing, I'm doing all that. What will be the resultant effect of it? The resultant effect of it is that I will get direction from God. Sometimes you might not even know what really is going on, but God will order your steps. And when he orders your steps, then you enter into that thing. So, all right, I had somebody once who had a very good job. They say, how? He said, it must be the prayers of my wife. They say, how do you know? He said, because the way I got the job, I entered the plane. I was late for the flight. I sat down. The man sitting beside me just saw me, and I sighed. He said, I sighed. And he said, what's the problem? And I said, listen, you know, I'm working as a lecturer in this university. There's strike. I need money. He said, the man said, is that the issue? He wrote on his card. He said, go to this particular parastatal in Nigeria. Let them give you, if you don't like the job they give you, call me. Now, if I tell you where this place is, you'll know that it is a good place. He said, call me. And then I will tell them to change it for you. If you don't like what they give you, I'll give him. That's how he got the job. Now, it is not by sign. Because you can go now and sit in the plane and sigh. Do you understand what I'm saying? You go there and say, and sigh. And the person beside you too says, Pele, there's trouble around here. I also know a friend of mine who was sitting in church. She also sighed. And the woman beside her said, what's the problem? And instantly gave her a job. So the Holy Ghost must have inspired the sigh. Okay, but I'm getting somewhere here in terms of him. And we explain this. When you put your trust in the Lord, what he does is that he orders your steps. All right? and we explain this. I'm going somewhere now, which means as you are doing that, what will be the resultant effect of this? God will order your steps. Right? It says, search the scriptures, for you think in them you find you have eternal life. It says, here's the mistake. You search. You find things in the word of God. You think in them you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. He said that you would not come to me that I might give you that life. Now, I want to read two scriptures to you concerning this. Go, first of all, to Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. It says this here. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then he must put in more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Which means if the cutlass be blunt and you do not sharpen the edge, then he must put more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Now, let me just share something here. I did a friend's birthday here on Friday. He was 50, so he invited me to come and preach at the breakfast he had. And I said this to them, because people there were around that age bracket. I said, if the iron be blunt and you do not wear the edge, then he must put in. And I said, you must remember the scripture says, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Which means the older you get, the more you must know that wisdom is the principal thing. And focus on wisdom. And I said this, if the iron be cutlass be blunt and you do not wet iron be blunt and you do not sharpen the edge, then you must put in more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct. And I said, because the older you get, the less strength you have to be running around. You have to increase your wisdom level to be able to have impact. Are you following what I'm saying? Because you can't be doing the hustle, so you must know where you are going. All right? If a young person can be running around, you must know where you are going. If I travel now, I don't have more than two shops where I buy everything that I buy. I can't walk around the whole street. Before I can be doing that, walking up and down the whole place, I cannot. I know exactly where I'm buying. It's a table like this where I'm buying my tie. I don't care whether their ties in some places. This table, they know me there. When they come, you are back. Sir, how are you? How are things? We sit down, we drink. You want coffee? You want water? We drink coffee, we drink water. We buy, we go. We're not distracted. It's a young person that will be walking up and from Oxford Street to Tottenham Court Road. I'm walking. We cannot do that at this stage now. You all right? You find direction. God says that's the place you go. Okay? But here's the scripture I really want to use. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 12. For wisdom is a defense, money is a defense, but the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life. Now, wisdom gives direction. That direction is life. Do you get what I'm saying here? Wisdom is profitable to direct. That direction is the life of the scripture. In other words, when you put your trust in the Lord, he will direct your steps. He said, if you come to me with the scriptures that testify of me, I will give you life. What he gives you is the direction for the scriptures now, for it to be fulfilled. In other words, what am I saying? If I have been confessing, and I want to get some now, declaring God's word, let's say I will expand to the left and to the right. God gave you that revelation. You are declaring it. Once you go to God based on that, you are praying that, you are meditating, you are worshiping, he will give you the life of that thing that you've been declaring, that scripture. He will give you the direction there, which means what you need to do in order for that scripture that has built faith inside you for it to materialize. So he gives you direction. Now that's what he does when you keep the fire, the light burning, and he comes and knocks on your door and you open it. He's going to tell you to get in some now. This is the point I'm getting to. Any person who fails, you have a revelation from God. Let's even say you have a sound business idea and you fail. It's because no revelation, no idea works in isolation. It must find another thing to mate with for there to be results. There has to be a coming together. Right? If there is no coming together, then it's faith that is by itself and it's alone and is dead. It has to come to something. So someone says, I'm struggling. You're struggling because there's an idea somewhere, a thought that must mate with that thought there that you have merged together in order to produce something. What am I saying? If you look at Isaiah chapter 34, remember it says, search the scriptures for you think in them. Follow me here. Just follow me. It says in verse 16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. This is the same thing. Search the scriptures. No one of these shall fail. You know why? None shall want her what? Mate. So everything that is in the Bible has a mate there that must come to it in order for it to happen. Now, I want to share something here. Please follow me here. Because some of you, the mate to your idea has come and you have not opened the door. Get what I'm saying. Every revelation requires, all right, a mate that comes in, mixes with it, and the revelation is spiritual. The mate is commonsensical. Do you understand what I'm saying here? All right? So when Isaiah prayed for another 15 years, when he prayed, didn't the sun stop? Are you following me? Everything, powerful things were happening. But what was the mate for that revelation? He remained sick. He started praising God. They said, go and boil figs and put it. He must have looked and said, what are you talking about? Boiling figs. I said, God revealed to me. He spoke to me. Gave me revelation. Which one is boiling fig? But that was the mate to that revelation there. I said one day I was preaching and I said, some of you, you need to put a signboard outside to get your business going. Somebody on the island said, he just said this, he said he put out something, was selling property, put it somewhere and sold off 600 million in 8 days. Just because pastor said that, he's just looked there. This is, I've been believing God, I've been confessing. I've been, come, house go, you touch, you leg touch, do everything, house go. Just needs a mate. Are you following what I'm saying here? Say, well, I'm looking for that husband. Someone just comes and says, you know, Emeto says, why don't you just change the way you dress? I said, no, change. So for Isaiah, so as you keep yourself on God's word, watch out for the mate when it comes. Are you following what I'm saying? Something very simple. Something very simple, right? That you don't think is as deep. And this is a problem, Pentecostals, you know, we are even deeper than God. We are deep, you know. I knew there was a scripture. Let me just close with it. Look at it. I knew there was a scripture when I was folding up. Let me just show you the scripture. I preached it also at this birthday here. Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 13, Ecclesiastes. It says this, and this is what's happening here. Better is a poor wise child than an old foolish king who will no more be what? Admonished. Look at what happens to the poor wise child. Next verse, it says, for out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in the kingdom becometh what? Poor. So a poor wise child who will take admonition. Do you get what I'm saying here? Who somebody walks up to and says something? Who is in their career and somebody just tells them, you know what? You know what? All right? The way you are dressing to work is lovely, but you are showing a little bit more, too much skin. Change it. Because the truth about the matter is that to employ people, they might look at you and say, okay, they are showing skin. Hey, this will attract customer. But when they have attracted the customer, and it's time to say we are talking about top management. Showing of skin can say the top people who want to invest will run away. That is this what we are practicing here. Are you following me? The world can punish if you lack wisdom. Let me tell you this. It can be a place that seems to punish. This is how it is. What operates at one level denies you from the next level. I didn't say what was, listen to me, what you did at one level that worked will deny you if you continue to practice it. I've given this example. It's like a baby who is born. He starts crying. That's, and the parents are happy. You hear the baby cry, yeah, praise God. Cries when he wants to eat, cries when he wants to. If the baby doesn't cry, you look, what's going on? Why you not cry? Why you not? You must cry. All right, cry. If it's hot, he cries. If it's cold, he cries. Everything cries to communicate to you. And you are interpreting the cry and acting accordingly. And by the time the baby has perfected the sound to get your attention, where you now know whether it's to take off the clothes or whether I'm not eating, when he cries one day, the mother says he's hungry. Cries one way, he says it's too hot. Remove this. By the time he just perfected it, you suddenly come and say, stop crying. Because he has passed that age. Stop crying. Can't you stop? Ah! He says, what are you talking about? This is the cry that you are wanting from the beginning. Anytime I cried, you are running this way. I cried, you are running this way. Suddenly, now the crying is the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the parent knows that you can't go and get a job by crying. You can't go and present for a business deal and you start crying. Hey, cry, cry. You can't even chase a woman and you are crying. Are you know what I'm saying? He says, when I cry very well, the woman will agree. When you cry very well, she runs away. She asks, what happened? The guy is crying. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? He's crying. Crying, okay? All right? What kind of man is that? He's crying. So the man knows you must stop crying now. Or there's a problem. But the child says, but this is what you depended on. When I cried the first time, I saw the smile on your face. My baby is crying. Now you are frowning. You know what happens? You do something to one level and life frowns at it. Days ain't working again. Are you following what I'm saying here? But there will be somebody that walk into your life. If you are staying on Revelation, that will tell you the corresponding mate that will take you to the next level. But if you don't listen to that voice and don't take the admonishment, do you get what I'm saying here? Then what will produce? You continue to struggle and to struggle. What will connect to produce? Now you can't get lost. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what? By the power of your Spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.